Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the Basically Famous podcast, where we're taking our notoriety to the mic and no topic is off limits. I'm your host, Wendy.
And I'm your host, Spencer. Each week, we talk about life's bullshit, our hot takes, and make one of you basically famous too.
Hey, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. That was not the song I was going for, but I kind of like where it went, so I went with it.
I'm not mad at it.
I felt like a tune midway through of saying welcome back. But welcome back into the studio. I feel like that's how we're going to start opening this. Welcome into the studio. Welcome into our brains. Welcome in.
You know, we never picked a studio name.
We never did.
I feel like we should take nominations.
Let's do that on our Patreon account.
Love that.
Love that for us and them.
Because I know a while ago we had asked for suggestions, like way back when before the rebrand.
Yeah.
And I was not into any of the names. They were tying it too close to like the name of the show. And it doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be. It can be anywhere. That way when I start this, I can be like coming at you from blah, blah, blah. Welcome into blah, 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 blah. Like we need something catchy. And I mean,
we could just say the name of the show too.
Welcome to the intro. No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to be like, welcome to Basically Famous. We're here. Da, 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 da. We're here into Basically Famous. Like that's a lot of Basically Famous.
It's
like,
a lot.
That's a lot. But we, Spencer and I were talking before we started recording. We're really trying to get a little bit more routine here. I know we say this every week, but we had some conversations and DMs with people this week. We feel it. We know summer is chaotic. Damn, if your job did not throw a wrench into everything.
I know.
You know what? You had to do what you had to do. I get it. You know, working 9 to 5.
Turned into five to nine.
That's right. It turned into another shift onto another. But we're really trying here, y'all. It's Sunday. Yes, it's Sunday.
It is Sunday.
It's Sunday.
Summers are always hard, regardless.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of travel. People forget that you and I do have full time jobs outside of the show.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's hard.
Lives. Yeah. One of us is a human mother, the other is a dog mother. I'm about to welcome a new child into my home.
Right. You're about to be postpartum dog. I mean, you have a lot going
on. My surrogate, you know, she's taking good care of him, but eventually I got to take him home.
That's right.
So,
wait, it's a girl though, right?
It's a boy.
Oh, it is a boy. Why did I think it was a little girl?
No, I don't know.
Oh my God. Did I get you a girl toy? I can't remember now.
No, they're very gender neutral.
Okay. I was like, great. I think I did a boy.
It is Pride Month. So, you know, we're all about gender neutrality.
So I'm like, crap, I got the wrong freaking thing.
No, it's a boy. One, I don't want to deal with girl periods. Two, Finley is intact. I do intend on leaving him intact. So, I don't want to have to deal with that.
No, I don't blame you.
I don't want to have to deal with worrying about them separating.
Brothers.
My thing is like, yeah, they're brothers. Sometimes two intact males together doesn't work out great, in which case that is fine. We will have Finley neutered.
Yeah.
Or at least I will have him sterilized.
Okay.
Because that is a thing. Oh. You can do like a sterilization. Certain vets, most vets do not do that. They do a straight neuter. But some vets do a sterilization so they can keep all their sex hormones. They just can't reproduce.
Oh,
but
okay.
Depending on what the behavioral component is, it would probably need to be like a full neuter.
Gotcha.
But sounds if I can, painful. I plan to leave them intact.
That's right.
Because all the research shows me they're going to be healthier.
That's right. And well, that's going to be very exciting. So, I mean, we're going to keep pumping out episodes in the meantime, but
we're going to do our best. We've got a couple good Patreons planned that we're going to knock out. Wendy's going to be
gone next week.
Yeah. Trip. We'll have a regular episode. And then we're going to knock out like back to back a few Patreons to load up all at the same time. Yep. So, we should have that set.
So look out for that. And also, we did record with Elaine. Some of y'all have already listened. We do need to make the cover, get that posted out there so the rest of you guys know. We're struggling. We're trying. And We love you guys, but we have a really fun show today. It's a very easy. Y'all usually love the Am I the Assholes?
Yeah.
And we're getting advice. Caught up. Yeah, we're getting caught up. And so we're like, yeah, let's just do it. We're feeling advicey.
We are.
We're feeling judgy and advicey.
I started my new medication today. I'm off Concerta. I'm trying something new.
No way.
Yeah, I had maxed out the Concerta. I was on like 72 milligrams.
And they're like, this is not working.
And I was like, meh.
Not doing what it needs to do.
Yeah. Dang. So now my medication is like 6 times more expensive and I can only get it from like certain pharmacies.
Dang, love that.
It's essentially, I guess, like Adderall, but made in the US. So they aren't having the same issues sourcing it.
Oh God. Okay. So you're like organic Adderall.
Sure.
You're eating a salad.
Sure. I mean, it does dissolve on my tongue. What? Yeah, it's a little different. Yeah. It's not a pill. It like dissolves on my tongue.
Neat. It probably hits that bloodstream real quick. It's like,
honestly, it's not the way I was expecting. Oh, I wasn't sure.
I'm picturing literally the medication hitting your brain and it's got a whistle and it's like, and they snap their fingers and all your brain cells are like, attention.
I wish.
No. Oh God. Well, you took it today. So let's put it to work.
I did. I took it today. They started me like middle of the road. Mm. Cause she's like, if you were maxed out on Concerta, let's start in the middle for this.
There you go.
And I'm like, how fucking like ADHD am I that I'm like, do I need to have more of this?
Maybe your ADHD has ADHD.
100%.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Okay. All I care about is my executive functions. Can I function like a normal human? Cool.
Looks good
then
to
I'm
me.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. So let me pull up this first one here. So there was a couple submissions for Am I the Asshole and some that were just like general advice. So we'll get started with this. So the first one's going to be an Am I the Asshole? I never thought I'd have to ask this, but I want to hear from people who aren't my family and you girls seem like a great place to start.
Yeah, we are.
So this is what happened. A few years ago, my brother got divorced. As part of that process, As part of that process, his ex-wife was ordered to pay him spousal
support.
Wow. Well, yeah, so that medication's really working.
You're definitely getting spousal support if you're getting divorced. Like, I'm just going to need some spousal support here.
I'm going to need some.
Wait, I actually kind of like that. If someone's like invading your space, like you can stay married, but you need spousal support. Like you got to move.
It's kind of genius.
I am not mad. Okay.
Okay. Right. So long story short, because I have verbal diarrhea.
That's okay.
Her former sister-in-law was ordered to pay her brother spousal support. If he moves in with a girlfriend or remarries, then that spousal support would end. That's pretty typical.
Yeah, that's typical.
Right? Mm-hmm. She says he did move in with his girlfriend over a year ago, but he officially told his ex-wife and the court system that he was living at my house. Just to be clear, my brother and I haven't lived in the same house since he was 18 and I was 14, and he's never lived in my current house. I don't know how his ex-wife found out or how it came about, but she took him back to court over it because the spousal support was something like $5,600 per month. That's
wow.
Insane.
What does she do?
And he was supposed to get no more of that if he moved in with somebody else. I had to testify in court that my brother has never lived in my house. My brother's mad because he begged me to say that he did live there. He flat out told me he lied to the court system because he hasn't worked since the divorce went through.
Well, he didn't need to. He had a whole salary on spousal support.
Quite literally, there's people that make less than that to support their whole household. Like, right. And they work full time.
Right.
Like,
also, yeah. Continue.
Also, yeah. Wait, he's a bum. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You can see where this is going
to
go.
But he's a bum.
Yeah.
My brother's mad because he begged me to say that he did live there. He flat out lied, told me he lied to the court system because he hasn't worked since the divorce went through and he didn't want to lose the payment support. No shit. No way I was going to lie in court. Are you going to perjure yourself to go to jail?
I'm not going to jail for
Hold
you.
Hold on. We got to finish this before we give our thoughts.
God.
I believe in helping family, but not if it means breaking the law. In this case, the court already had a copy of the lease he signed for his apartment, so they would have known I lied. But my brother and some other people, my mom and some of my other siblings, are mad that I told the truth in court, even though my brother asked me not to. So am I the asshole for telling the truth despite what my brother said? I would have thought the answer was obvious, but I'm getting so much flack from my family that it's making me second guess myself. Absolutely not. you need to get as much distance between you and your family as possible.
You don't, that you cannot break the law at someone else's favor and then you're going to go down, because then what?
Right.
Like, you're going to lie about that? No, you put your hand on the Bible and they ask you, like, I could not even let a shirt fall in TJ Maxx before I'm going to pick it back up because my conscience would eat me alive. No, we don't lie in court. You are not the asshole. They are the assholes for even asking you.
Right. Your brother, well, your brother's just a dick all the way around.
I would never ask someone to do that.
Like, I know he's your brother, and so I'm going to phrase this gently, but like, what a loser.
Yeah.
Loser energy.
Also, he's getting that much money. Just live on your own for a little bit, big guy. Like, let's just be by ourselves a little bit. Let's be a little bit independent.
Right. Like, but here's the thing that I'm confused about. Why, I guess, the spousal support agreement doesn't say that he can't live on his own. Like, I'm confused why. I don't know. Something doesn't make sense to me.
Well, if he's
like, am I missing something?
Yeah. Living on his own means that he would probably need a little bit more money. But if he was living with someone else or splitting the rent.
I get that part. Oh. But like, if it was just his name on the apartment lease.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying there were other ways to get around this besides lying to the court and saying you don't have an apartment.
Yeah. But she said she didn't know how she had found out. So.
Well, I'm saying on his side.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if you were getting an apartment and then you had a girlfriend move in with you.
Well, he moved in with her though, right?
Oh, is that what it was? Maybe that's what I was missing. I don't know. Either way.
He moved in with her, I think.
Either way, like, your brother should get a fucking job.
Yeah, get a job. You could have been banking money and wouldn't have to worry about it at all.
Right. Like, well, he probably hasn't worked, because if he could prove income, then his spousal support would be less, right? Or is that more like kid? Like,
yeah, I think if you get spousal support, I think it's what's in the document is in the document. I don't think
it
matters.
It's not dependent on your income.
She made more or whatever. But you're right. It's standard that if you're dating or remarried, I don't even know if it's dating. I think it's usually, or people that I know that have gone through this, it was if they were engaged or married, it stopped. Because I know people that dated. Now, I don't know what the clause was as far as living, because these people had kids.
I'm sure
and there was
it might
something
be different
around
state
that.
To state too.
Yeah, and then the ones that I'm referring to, who you also know, hers, like, she had kids were involved. So, therefore, that was more of the issue with the living together situation.
Right.
And she did whatever. But I don't know. Like you said, what are you doing?
I feel like this family, the moral compass in your family is a little skewed.
Not by you.
Not by,
obviously.
Correct.
You broke the mold.
But like, it's one thing if you have like one rogue family, like her brother, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that like her family is also giving her flack for not lying.
Like a mom. Like,
he's a grown ass man.
He's
a divorcee. Like, right.
And now we see why.
Right. But we're not going to pull in our other loved ones to make huge mistakes.
No. And your mom of all people, like, as a parent, regardless, like, let's set your kids straight. Let's tell them the truth. Let's have them tell the truth. Let's teach them right from wrong.
I always find it really interesting when you have like the conversation with parents about like if they found out their kid did like a horrendous crime, would you help cover, you know, like the Gabby Petito thing, like the laundries.
That's tough. And also, we haven't talked about that in so long. We need to do an episode on that, like recap, like revisiting that. And then the Ohio, your concert is not working for me either. the Idaho murders and stuff. But the whole laundry thing, like, I don't know. I never want to be in that situation with Fisher.
Please, well, obviously, that would be like a parent's worst nightmare, right?
Yes.
To find out their kid's a monster
and does
this horrific
crime.
Could
you live knowing that your kid, I couldn't do that. I could not live knowing that my son did something like that to somebody else. Because if it was returned and somebody did that to my kid and their child confessing them or they knew, I would want to know. Like, I can't imagine not knowing what happened, or like,
well,
kids getting kidnapped.
Like, it's psychotic. Like, there's just such a lack of empathy. And I like, not to make this about the Gabby Petito thing, but like the lack of empathy that his parents had for her parents.
Yeah. He got it honest.
But like, I just can't imagine, like, if something happened to my child, being able to look in the face of the parents of the person who harmed my kid.
Yeah.
And they're
nothing.
Not.
I know.
It would keep me up at night. They can't relate to me. They, like, know the pain that I'm going through. I don't know. It's just I don't think I could be one of those parents where if my kid fucked up, even if that's like so serious too, but even if my kid committed like petty crime.
Yes.
Like, no, like that is part of like your job is to
because then you're enabling it to happen and they're going to do something worse later. Like, I stole gum from Rite Aid when I was like three. And do you know, my mom made me take it back inside and the guy was like, no, she can have it. My mom was like, no, she can't. Right. I just got right up in that car chewing that gum. And my mom was like, you're taking it back. I had to give it back. Probably even had to spit the one. I probably swallowed it either way. But no, you teach your kids like right from wrong. And that sometimes really freaking sucks because it puts a parent in a terrible situation. Right. But like for a parent to side with the brother that's like, hey, I need you to lie for me. Like, why? What's in it for the mom?
Well, that's just it. Like you don't want your grown ass son to get a job and support himself. You want him to keep like,
he's going to be single forever. That girl
funneling money off of his ex-wife.
Right. Also as the girlfriend, wouldn't you be like, ew, that's gross. I would be so turned. I'd be like, you know what? We're not, this isn't going to work out.
But I also wouldn't get into a relationship with a man with no job. So,
there's that.
There's
and
that.
That's on that. Okay. Wow. Now that we really, gave her all the advice she didn't even ask for.
Sliced and diced. Oh. I mean, hopefully no offense taken.
Girlfriend,
you know?
No, girlfriend.
You are not the asshole. Mm-mm. That is the long and the short of it, but the rest of your family is.
For sure.
This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc. When someone is just exceptionally good at what they do, it could be a waiter, a chef, or a doctor, you know you're in good hands. It's like when you see a waiter at a restaurant balance five trays of sizzling fajitas on one arm, you know,
that's, I could never,
but that shit is impressive.
It is impressive.
So you're confident that that waiter is not going to drop your fajitas. And I'm confident that when you find a doctor on ZocDoc, they're going to help you solve your problems. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
Surprise twists might work for podcasts, but not for medical care. With ZocDoc, there are no alarms and no surprises. Choose from thousands of patient-reviewed doctors and specialists, browse doctor profiles, upload and verify your insurance information, and get the care you need. Go to ZocDoc.com/famous and download the ZocDoc app for free, then find and book top-rated doctors today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/famous, ZocDoc.com/famous.
All right. Next one.
Yep. My father recently died on my way, and my way of coping with it was hanging around his old study where I would spend a lot of time bothering him while he was working when I was a child. Oh, memories. It all started when I stumbled on some old pictures and documents hidden away in my dad's study. Photos of him and another woman, but mostly photos of his son, which I will call Alex. It hit me like a ton of bricks, and I couldn't bear the weight of the secret on my shoulders. I felt so torn between keeping it buried or revealing it to my family. After days of wrestling with my conscience, I ultimately believed it was the right thing to do and bring the secret to light. Alex deserved to know the true heritage, and I had a chance to reconnect with us, or so he could have a chance to reconnect with us. So I gathered my courage, sat down with my mom to show her the evidence revealing the truth about Alex. It was devastating for my mom. She felt hurt, shocked, and utterly confused. My siblings were equally taken aback, struggling to process this bombshell. Now our family is divided. Some say I did the right thing by being honest, while others say it was wrong of me to do that because it was obviously his past father's reputation.
Living a double life.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that would be so fucking hard to find out after the fact because there's no resolution, right? Like you can't talk to your dad about it and be like, what, why? Like there's no closure to that.
And I think I don't think you're the asshole for doing it because it doesn't sound like you were trying. I think you genuinely thought that was the right.
Good.
Yeah. I think you really thought that this was the right move. Was it the best move? I don't know because like what you're saying, and I've had certain situations with people in my life, like if something can't come out of it, if it cannot be resolved and someone gets closure and you're opening a wound that they're never going to get closure on, that's really hard because what if Alex doesn't want anything to do with the family? What if you stir up all this stuff and you've brought it to light and then he wants to live his life? He didn't want it. You just don't know the situation. What if the person didn't want to be in the mix of everything? I don't know.
I definitely don't think. You're not the asshole for it, but I think it's such a personal perspective,
yeah,
I guess is the right word. Mm-hmm. Like some people, like I would want to know.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think it's person by person. Like, yeah, you know your family the best and you know your mom, your siblings, whatever. Because for me, if I didn't know my mom and like my mom gave me for adoption, whatever, I know me and I'm gonna be on Facebook, I'm gonna be on Instagram, I'm gonna be Googling, I'm gonna be looking it up, I'm gonna do that 23andMe, whatever. I would wanna know. But I think some people don't. Like, they genuinely don't. They've gone, true, their whole lives without knowing somebody. They don't care. It did not make them who they were. It doesn't affect their life. They've gone, yeah, X amount of years without this person. So my
first thought though is, does this like long lost sibling even know their dad?
That's right.
Did they have a relationship with their dad, or does the dad only have photos because the mom stayed in touch and sent him photos over the years? Like, is it actually a double life where he,
It could wreck his world if he thought his dad was his dad the whole time. Can you imagine that bomb being dropped on you?
But, or like if the kid just never, Alex, is that the name, the quote name that we're getting? I don't know if it's real or, you know,
she whatever. Said, we'll call him Alex. Okay. So it's fake.
But like, what if Alex thought that like his dad, you know, it was a one night stand, or like he didn't even realize he had a father. And it's like, okay, so then you're introducing this, your real dad in like theory, but he never will get to know him because he's gone.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
So it's like, you don't know. That is such a risky thing. But I honestly, I probably would have done the same thing because I would have wanted to know.
Yeah.
And like the only other option that I could have seen was, instead of just like blowing it all out there, like person to person in the family being like, hey, like I uncovered something that's like really major and really serious and potentially upsetting about dad. Do you want to know or do you not want to know?
Yeah.
Like, because for me, if somebody approached me with that, like curiosity killed the cat.
Well, I think anybody would jump on that. Yeah.
But I don't know. I really don't know. I think that there would be some people out there that like, no, I don't want anything to disturb my like memory of him.
Yeah. I think it depends on the person. That's for sure. Really, I don't think I would say anything.
I wouldn't beat yourself up over it though. People that are upset with you right now and your family for sharing it, they're going to get over it. They're going to move on from it. There's no closure that can happen, but sometimes closure just doesn't need to happen or doesn't exist. You just have to accept it for what it is and move on. Right. And like that wound will heal over.
Yeah, it will. But girl, Christmas, it's gonna be awkward.
Well, this next one is much lighter and much shorter.
Perfect.
So she said, hey girls, I need some advice. I'll call him my boyfriend, but we really did start dating fairly recently. We haven't even been intimate. But for the sake of the story, my boyfriend has continuously talked about how he doesn't like big labia and how he thinks that it's ugly. I can't even read this with a straight face. And that he bets I have a nice pussy. Okay, Hold on. He's never even seen mine because we haven't gotten that far, but I have big labia, so now I feel like breaking up with him. Need some girly advice as to what I should do. I feel so uncomfortable engaging in any sex talk with him now, and I don't want him to see my pussy. I literally hate that word so much.
I cannot stand
it. I'm so turned, gross. And I'm so not a prude, but there is something about that word that just, I do not like it. I'm turned off, to say the least. No shit. I'm 25 and he's 32. I thought since he's older, he would have a more mature mindset. He sounds like a loser.
Yeah.
Like, is that just like the theme for today? Like losery men?
Maybe, because the next one I have to read is losery men.
Here's the thing. Like, everybody's going to have their preferences, right? Like, that is fine. That is so bizarre to me. And like, if he is so concerned over what somebody's labia looks like, you don't want to let him enter you. I'm just saying it. Mm-mm. And like, if it's not even like really that serious, you need to walk away. Yeah. If you are casual enough where you haven't been intimate yet, walk away.
Because if he hears that much about something like that, what else does he care about? That you're like, what? Like, no.
Right. Like, how long have you guys actually been dating too? That's the other thing. Like, have you been dating 6 months and you haven't been intimate? Or have you literally been on like a couple casual dates? In which case, why the fuck is he talking about that shit?
No.
Maybe, period.
Maybe they were
but Arby's. Especially if it's like newer.
Yeah, I know. He sounds gross.
Next. Disgusting.
I feel like you should just break up with him because, like I said, if he hears about something like that and is going to be so passionate about that, I'm going to need him to go figure that out somewhere else.
There would have to be some like crazy redeeming qualities to make him worthwhile. He sounds like trash, and you, I can guarantee you, are going to do better and find somebody that will love the fuck out of your fat ass pussy.
Okay. All right. Okay. So this one is... She needs advice. This one, I don't know why it made me laugh because I skimmed it and I was like, no.
Oh, God.
Okay, so her professor, who's a male, was licking his lips while talking to her, which I did make the joke earlier, like maybe his lips were just crusty, whatever. But really, it is awkward, you know.
But like, how is he licking his lips?
So, okay, just keep reading. Just keep reading. I don't know how else to put this. I was at a 7 days course on campus on college. I think she means in college. This is a niche college and students are ages 20 to 65.
Okay.
Is this online?
But here's the thing, like you can go to college at any age, at any university. I'm kind of confused.
Okay. There are three professors teaching and we were split in three groups. So each group had different professors. On the last day, all the students and teachers went to the college bar. Me and four other students, all in the same group, were in a circle and talking. The professor made rounds talking to all students and then came to our table. We started talking, and then as we were talking, he licked his lips while talking to me. I felt really uncomfortable. I'm in my late 20s and he is in his 60s. I don't know whether I'm overreacting, but I just felt really like uncomfortable. He was also a normal professional during the 7 days, but the last night with his lip licking was just so weird to me. Any insight? Not sure if I'm reading too much into this. Okay, based off the fact how I just read this, we're reading really far into this. If he like literally was talking and licked his lips, like
people lick their lips.
I constantly lick my lips.
But if he's like, you know, sensually running his tongue across his lips, then obviously
and like smack, you know, like.
Yeah, like that's girl. Fucking weird. Mm-hmm. Also, if he's just being a creep and like lizard licking his lips, like that's strange too.
I mean, you should have probably offered him some lip gloss, some chapstick, see if he took the bait.
Do you need some Aquaphor?
Like, bro, are your lips chapped or are you trying to seduce me? Because we watched Legally Blonde. We know how this went down. So pump the brakes, sister.
Okay, have you watched the show, Sex Lives of College Girls?
No.
Okay, it is... So good. Okay. It is so good. But so this actually made me think of this scene. So do you know who Timothy Chalamet is, or Chalamet, the actor?
I know. I think.
Or you know the name at least. The name, okay. Yeah. So his sister also is an actor. Okay. So his sister plays this girl, Kimberly, mm-hmm. who's like the best character. I love her.
Okay.
Actually, it's funny enough. They were just talking about her on The Toast because apparently he's dating Kylie.
Yeah, I think that's where I heard it. But I think they call him Tim Chalamet, right? Isn't it Tim or is it Timothy?
I think it's Timothy. Oh. Regardless.
Well, I know him as Tim, and that's why.
Okay. Tim, we're either way.
First name, nickname basis. Okay, his name does sound familiar, but it's probably because I heard that.
All of this is really irrelevant. So anyways, this girl's character on the show, she is trying to, she's the poor student. So she... like lost her scholarship. She's trying to find money. She's got this rich professor, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, she goes to the professor's house. She's like invited for this like, you know, social gathering mm-hmm. with other students. And, you know, it's like an honor to be invited to it. Right.
Okay.
So she's there and she's like having great conversation with everybody. She's talking to the professor's husband. And then he like propositions her for sex.
Oh, God.
And she's like, what? Like, what the fuck do I do? Because like this professor of mine who like I adore literally just offered to give me money so I can stay in school. And now her husband's propositioning me for sex. Like, does she know? Am I expected to have? It was just, it's so
awkward.
It's so awkward, but it's really very funny in the context of the show. But I don't know, for whatever reason, I'm picturing that scene and I'm like, ooh, like it makes my insides cringe.
Right. Yeah. Oof, girlfriend.
I think it all depends on how he was licking his lips. And so we're really going to need more information.
Yeah. We need to know. Did he make the ring twice? Like two times around?
The noise I cannot.
Or was it just like a little quick little, like, you know, because did he just wet his whistle because it was dry? Was he talking a lot? He was making rounds at tables.
Joe whistle, baby. Whistle, baby. All right.
That's all I know about.
This next one is really long, so bear with me. Hopefully I don't trip over my words too much.
It's okay.
Like sometimes we'll read these long ones and then sometimes we skip them. Like it's usually better to be a little more concise, but we're feeling frisky today. All right. So she says, "Hey girls, I have been friends with, we'll call her Layla, for years. She recently stayed." Wow, I'm off to a great start. "She recently started dating, quote, Josh. And at first, everything was fine. I did my best to invite him anywhere we went to find common ground. For reference, Layla is 22, Josh is 30.
Okay.
Unfortunately, over the past year, things have become rocky. It began when Josh attended a party at my place and threatened to fight one of my guests over a case of beer." So literally loser men is the trend of this day. Yeah. Okay. "It came out of nowhere and practically unprovoked because my guest had taken a tone with Josh," quote, "as he put it. This ruined the party and everyone was weird after that. The second incident took place when Layla invited me to their place. When I was there, Josh seemed to be unable to communicate tactfully when it came to the topic of women's rights." Oh boy. "Debating anything I said, Googling statistics I mentioned, and citing his experience as a, quote, victim of cancel culture. I felt like I was walking on eggs and had to watch what I said around him. I felt uncomfortable and wanted to leave. Then when he began to mention all of the weapons he had in the other room," what the fuck? "I felt even more uncomfortable and unsafe. The third reason is more broad. I disagree with him on everything from politics, human rights issues, and basic moral values. He has cheated on my friend, calls women's bitches regular women's calls women bitches regularly and makes explicit jokes about women constantly. He has also been condescending to my friends and boyfriend and once joked my boyfriend was too immature to understand what doing hard drugs is like, something which upset me because my boyfriend's family has a history of addiction and my boyfriend was born with drugs in his system. Due to this, neglected and taken from his biological parents. He doesn't like to talk about it. And when Josh made this joke, I saw my boyfriend's face go white." Sorry. I had to take screenshots of this one, so I just moved over. "I saw my boyfriend's face go white. I do not like to be around this type of humor. When Josh cheated on Layla, she called me for advice. I assumed she was leaving him and made the mistake of telling her what I thought about him, that he made me uncomfortable and seems to have a low opinion of women. I said a lot of harsh things about him, and she told him every word the next day when she decided to stay with him. I don't blame her. I understand he is her partner, and I stand behind my words, but knowing he has heard every concern I have about him makes me worry he's angry with me. Anyways, Layla is head over heels for him. Since all of this took place, she's been begging me to hang out with him to get on a good page. I am having a party soon and invited my friends to come drink and barbecue. So Layla asked me to invite Josh so that he and I could work out our differences. I don't want him there because I just want this party to be a good time and I don't want to have to worry about any conflict. I'm not sure how to navigate this situation correctly. I'm aware I messed up by saying everything I thought to her. I love her so much and I don't want to make her life harder, but I feel extremely uncomfortable and unsafe around him. Is there anything I can do?"
That is so much. First gut reaction is...
He sounds like a vile human.
Well, the first gut reaction is that y'all are not going to be able to be friends. Like, no. It's just not going to happen. Like, there's no way that you're going to be able to repair what you've said, how you feel about things and the things he thinks about you. And he does sound like he's a lot. And he's not respectful. So he's not going to care when you try to make peace. But also, what is your friend doing? Why is your friend with him? Like, what?
I think women's intuition does not lie. And if you do not feel safe around him, you don't feel safe for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think you are super valid and you can agree to whatever, like squash the beef, like say, "I have no hard feelings towards him. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. I want you to be happy. I support you as my friend.
Yeah.
I will not spend time around him because I do not feel safe. No. I don't feel safe. Like mentally, emotionally, or physically.
It's never going to go anywhere.
Well, and that's
with those types of people.
But, and this relationship, I really do. There's such an age gap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 8 years is not a huge age gap, but when one of them is 22, like you're barely an adult at 22. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. He's 30 years old. Like he's a grown ass man, or he should be.
Right.
Like he is fully functioned and developed. I don't know. I feel like there might be a little bit of like infatuation on your friend's part with him because he's like older and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're that age, you're like, oh, an older man. Okay. Yeah. Meanwhile, he's fucking trash.
No. Yeah. And what has your friend seen him? Maybe that's the conversation you have. Maybe you go to dinner with your friend and you ask her and you're like, hey, I understand that I messed up. Like, I know that's your boyfriend and I'll respect him from that perspective. But can I ask you, like, what are his redeeming qualities? And don't do it where she's going to be defensive. Hopefully she'll understand. I mean, when you're 22, that'd be really hard. But asking her, making sure that she doesn't have any red flags, like making sure that you're not seeing any red flags on her behalf. Like, what if she's in a bad relationship and she's, you know, you just don't know.
And you never know what's going on behind closed doors. No. And here's the thing. If he really does, if he's that disrespectful towards women, it's only a matter of time, if he's not already, which I find hard to believe, that he is going to inflict some sort of trauma or pain on her.
For sure.
You know, obviously I'm not going to like speculate on what could happen.
Yeah.
But I mean, we can all read between the lines. There's a lot of ways to hurt someone.
Yeah.
So
definitely go to dinner with your friend and talk to her and maybe get some more, like, apologize, obviously, because you don't want to like make her relationship harder with him. But at the same time, like, understand from her friend.
Apologize for putting her in a tough spot.
Yes. And just kind of tell her, like, this is why I reacted this way. This is how I feel. When y'all both have a level head, not just talking crap about him like that. You're valid in saying these things, but just like, do it in such a way that maybe she can understand where you're coming from a little bit better and not being defensive because it just happened. Like, let the dust settle. But as far as having a friendship with him, like, that sounds like a terrible idea. Going out together and like grabbing dinner and a drink. No, don't do it.
No.
That ain't going to go good.
I had a friend who we lived together in New York and I loved her dearly. I mean, we were like so close. We said we will be sisters forever, you know? And she started dating this guy who, like, it is like such a fairy tale type story, right? Like, she meets this guy. He's from a wealthy family. Like, he's very charming and charismatic. And she's like, okay, like head over heels. She's invested.
Yeah.
He buys her an Audi because she didn't have a car at the time. Like, when you think like fairy tale guy very that lavish. Comes in and sweeps you off your feet and makes your life so easy. She was, she had gotten laid off from her job in the city. So she had been like nannying like until she could find another job. He gave her money so she didn't have to nanny anymore until she could find work. Like it was like a whole whirlwind thing, right?
Yeah.
Something never sat right with me. Like, yes, I'm like too good to be true.
Yeah.
Right. Like, too good to be true. Doesn't make sense. There's something off here. But like, I never really said it. He was perfectly nice to me. Like, as I said, very charismatic and charming, but just something in my gut said no. So they were not, they were dating for maybe a month or two, not too long. And she asked me, she's like, hey, I have a question. I almost said his name. So-and-so said for his birthday he wants a threesome with us.
What?
And I was like, I beg your pardon? I laughed. I thought she was kidding. And I was like, oh yeah, that sounds great. And she was like, really? And she was like, I figured I'd have to like do more convincing. And I was like, wait, you're serious? And she was like, yeah, like he said she's like, he said it kind of joking, but then like he kept bringing it up. Like he's been talking about it for like the last week. And I said I would ask you. And I was like, do you? Like, I was like, one, I don't want to fuck my friend.
No.
Weird. Like, talk about a quick way to ruin our friendship. Like, I'm not that kind of person. I can't do that.
No.
But secondly, I'm like, this is your boyfriend. Like, at that point, they were, like, committed to one another. They were, like, monogamous.
Right.
So I was like, are you kidding? Like, that's so fucking weird. Like, you just got into like a monogamous point in your relationship with him and he's asking you for a threesome with your roommate?
Yeah, no.
That is fucking strange.
That's so weird, yeah.
Anyways, she told him, I like went off. I was like, no, like there's so many, I went off, named all these different things that I didn't feel comfortable with, that I didn't think were okay. I thought he treated her like shit. She went to Yale. And he would make jokes in front of anybody who would listen that she went to Yale with two L's, you know, trying to like diminish her like accomplishments.
Like, and where did you go, big guy?
And her intellect. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, he treats you like shit. He would cut her off in conversation and put her down. He was always trying to make her feel like less than and dumb. And I'm like, no. So I unleashed and I let her hear it all. And she repeated some of it to him, a lot of it. I mean, long story short, they're married. They have three kids.
They are?
I did not think
that was going to go.
Yeah. But it was really sad for me because that was actually right before I moved in with Robbie. So I was only 22 at the time, and she was a few years older than me, and he was like, I think a couple years younger than her, maybe.
Yeah.
He was like in between us. So like, I mean, I think, was he younger than her? Or was he older? Damn, I can't remember now. It's been so long. But not too far. Like, we were all like relatively close to the same age, but she was this, like, a year older than Robbie. So she was like 6 years older than me. But it just like made me so sad because after that, I was like, what are you doing? Like, open your eyes.
People get so like just infatuated, like you said, with someone and they don't see anything. They have blinders on. But yeah, that's absolutely not for me. I think for
her, she was really needing security in her life at that time. Her boyfriend. So she lived, the whole reason that I moved in with her, she had gotten an apartment by herself. Before that, she had been living in Brooklyn, and her fiance, who was a firefighter in Brooklyn, cheated on her. She walked in on him having sex with the other girl in their bed. Yeah. Talk about trauma.
Yeah.
So like, she had these trust issues. She had a really volatile relationship with her mom. Like, it was, her dad died very suddenly, like in her arms.
Oh God.
Lots of trauma. Right. So I think, and then she was like struggling for money because she got laid off from her job. Like, it was just a whole lot of shit in her life that she had dealt with. And she was such a great, like, special person. And I think he was able to give her like a sense of security that she was like craving. And so it was like she was willing to look past all that other bullshit. But I guarantee you it hasn't changed or stopped.
Hopefully he grew out of that. I mean, you know, hopefully he was.
I promise you, he didn't.
No.
He was not that guy. That is him. And I know that's him because she would talk about his family. And I can tell you, his family, big group of dicks.
Ew.
So I just know, I mean, her mom, or his mom and his sister, exactly what you think when you think super wealthy Hamptons, nasty, condescending.
Some of them.
Yeah. So, so I had to like separate myself, and then he like threw her a birthday party and he invited me, and I told him I couldn't go, and he wrote me this long letter about how like she's been such a good friend to me, and you know, it was so disappointing that I would let my personal feelings about him get in the way of our relationship, like shaming me. Never responded because I was like, it's not worth it.
No,
like, you have some fucking nerve,
right? Ew.
To make me feel bad about distancing myself, because you really do have to protect yourself. And so this was a really long way of me coming around to tell this person that you have to protect yourself in this friendship and this relationship. She needs to figure it out for herself. So you can have the conversations, you can make amends with her and apologize for putting her in a difficult spot. But ultimately, if you are not going to be comfortable around him, then you have to tell her that and say, hey, I want to maintain a relationship with you. I do not want him to be a part of that relationship. Mm-hmm. So let's make time to spend with one another one-on-one. We'll just agree. We won't do group events together where, you know, he's going to be there, because I'm not comfortable with that. And like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to figure out what your boundaries are. And you also have to accept the fact that you might just have to take a step back from the friendship.
Yeah. I mean, chances are friendships like that, from my like perspective or from my experience, I mean, you typically will outgrow friendships, and that's one of those friendships that you're probably going to outgrow. If they stay together, you're going to look back in a couple years and be like, wow, we haven't hung out in this amount of time. And then it's going to get further and further and further, because it's so hard to be friends with someone that you don't like their spouse or boyfriend or whatever. So
it's really hard.
And it's hard.
And it's,
but it happens.
Yeah. I mean, and like this friend of mine, like we're friends on Facebook. I see her occasional life updates. Yeah. Like if she called me tomorrow and said, hey, I'm in town, let's get, I would do it in a second.
But you just don't go out of your way to like make, like the friendship is that though. It's like that, one of those distant. Yeah,
that's it. Because she chose him and that was totally fine. I would never expect her to, you know, leave him based on what I think.
Yeah.
But it makes me sad that she didn't think enough of herself, you know, and would, she convinced herself to stay in the relationship and she convinced herself that he didn't try to belittle her and, you know, diminish her.
Sadly, that happens a lot. It happens a lot that people do that. Okay. So our last advice is, we're really switching gears here. This one is about someone needing advice about feeling empty. And she said, I feel quite empty. It's like there's a void inside me, which nothing can fill. No matter what I do, I don't really enjoy anything. I just keep comparing or complaining and I find something negative in everything. Well, that's so hard because I feel like everybody, I think we all get to that point. It's some phase in our life or some point. And when we were like skimming through these actual sentences, I was like, oh, this is a good one actually, because I get like that. Like, this is going to sound really crazy. I get like that like monthly. Like there's certain things that I'll find a lot of joy in 1 minute and then the next time I don't. And we have talked about this off and on privately, but like Instagram can be that way for me. If we have like a big moment on Instagram and then it dies down, I immediately feel very empty from Instagram.
You're very sensitive to like the highs and lows of thing,
whatever,
like the adrenaline rush you get from like the positives and whatnot.
And that's in life in general for me. Like that could be, after a birthday party, after a wedding, after like whatever it is, it's like, I'm a feeler, you know? So I'll like go all in and then it's like, bam, it's this, and then it's done. And then I'm like, I crash. Mm-hmm. Like our show last year was one of those for me. Major.
I think like, to me, like I hear that and I'm like, okay, is it common? Yes. Is it normal? No. Like you probably need to go see a therapist.
Yeah.
One, anybody who talks to me knows I'm a therapy advocate. I think everybody should go to therapy. But there's something probably
deeper for sure.
Deeper that you need to talk about. Perhaps you need to see a doctor about maybe a medication that will help. I'm not a doctor, so I can't diagnose or recommend anything.
Yeah.
But I do think that you need a professional to be able to assess, are these feelings normal and help you work through them?
Well, or the feelings are normal. It's what's triggering them. Like it's one thing to feel the highs and lows or to feel negative about certain situations. That's normal. It's the being able to snap out of it. Like if I know that something's not positive or giving me happiness, I am very self-aware. Yeah. Like I'll be able to know like, all right, well then I need to redirect whatever it is. I need to step back from this. I need to pour into that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And that happens a lot when like, say it's triggered from something. So right now we don't know exactly what in particular, like maybe triggered this that like set her in the spiral. Cause obviously something kind of got it rolling. You got to figure out what that is and then figuring out like where you do get a little bit of happiness and then taking that and doing that a little bit more and figuring out from there, like snowballing that into.
And like have your friends help hold you accountable too, right? Yeah. Like if you know there are certain things that are beneficial for your mental health that you do find even just the slightest amount of joy in, sometimes it is all the strength in the world to actually get up and do those things, even when you don't want to. But tell your closest friends, whoever you feel really safe with, that you need them to help you. You need them to come to your house and pull you out to go for a walk.
Yeah.
Or like whatever it is that you know it brings you just a little bit. Even if the idea of doing it now doesn't feel great, but you know it has been something that's brought you joy in the past. Cool. Make plans to do those things and force somebody out, you know, to help you out to do it.
Life is too short to go through it, to find negative in everything. Like really, I mean, can you imagine like the toll that's going to take in 6 months, a year of, if all you're seeing is negative, cause that's what you're putting in your head.
Yeah.
It's just negativity. But I agree with you. Like even talking to somebody like a therapist or somebody that can help you outside looking in. Cause sometimes your friends may tell you in the beginning, like, what you want to hear. And you're like, okay, cool, right. whatever.
But and it really, is normal to have periods of that in yeah. your life, right? Oh like God, not yeah. everybody, or not everything is like fucking sunshine and roses no, all the time. No,
for nobody, like, it's that.
Right.
You got to remind yourself, for nobody, everything is great all the time.
Right. So their life, like there's an ebb and a flow, but I yeah. think your closest friends that you feel safe with should be call number one, and call number two should be a therapist.
Absolutely.
ZocDoc.com will help you find one.
I was waiting for that. I'm like, hello, we know somebody. And you know what? I don't know if this is like medically proven, but I did hear that listening to our podcast does bring joy.
Goodbye. I did not know that that's where you were going with that. I 100% support that endorsement.
I mean, it really does. It really, it can bring laughter. It can bring happiness. It can bring you feeling like you're smarter than us. If you listen on any given day, you're going to feel better about yourself. Trust me.
More articulate. Yeah, all the things.
You can read a sentence without stopping and chopping. Like, yes, girl.
Okay, there is one more okay. that I wanted. I particularly wanted to get your take on it, which is why.
Oh, boy.
I pick this one. Okay.
Okay.
So she says, hey, I occasionally ask my sister-in-law, who runs a daycare, to take care of my 4-year-old son while I go into the office for work. Her daycare usually finishes at 5:30, but I end up picking my son up at 7 due to work commitments. Despite offering to pay her for her time, she insisted on doing it as a favor. During my son's last visit to her daycare, he accidentally ate peanut butter and had an anaphylactic shock. My sister-in-law did take him to get medical attention, but when she informed me about the incident, she downplayed it and said that he had just felt itchy at the time and had a small rash. She claimed that he hadn't had a severe reaction, and I only discovered the truth when I found only one instead of the usual 2 epinephrine injectors I keep in my son's bag later that week, thinking it felt lighter than usual. I was extremely upset about the situation. I would have never found out had I not checked. I would have never found out if I hadn't checked, as my son, after his dad died, only speaks selectively. Oh, God. I confronted my sister-in-law, expressing my anger and frustration that she had downplayed the severity of the reaction. In response to the incident and her downplaying, I made the decision to report her daycare to the local authorities. I believe that it's important to hold her accountable, as my son had a severe reaction while under her care. However, my family believes that I am overreacting. They argue that since my sister-in-law was doing me a favor, I should be more forgiving and understanding. They believe I should appreciate her help and not cause trouble for her, and rescind my complaint, as she is family. I'm not sure I am overreacting or not, as my son was involved, but I'm quite overprotective of him. What do you think? And then she adds, P.S. My sister-in-law's daycare is advertised as a nut-free environment.
Oh. Ooh, okay. So my initial reaction would be, you went a little harsh, I think, on the sister-in-law. And the reason that I say that, I mean, kids are going to do stuff. They're going to get hurt. Things are going to happen. That being said, that could have been very, very detrimental. I mean, that could have killed the child.
Life ending.
Like, yeah, that could have been major. Now, I would absolutely have a conversation on, why weren't you honest with me? Like, I don't like that. Like, I would have to talk to this person and be like, listen, I understand that you
shit happens.
That you had him and you've kept him late for me and you've done all these things for me. That being said, if you're going to be nut free and you're not going to be, if you're going to advertise as nut free, but you're actually not nut free, I'm going to need to know all the details when this goes down, because this could have killed my kid. Right. That's where I would have started. And depending on how that conversation went, if she was receptive to what I was saying, was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You're right. I didn't want you to freak out. Like, I got scared and I just did what I needed to do. And we did end up having to use it. It was much more traumatic than I thought, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That's one thing. That's one approach. And then I would say that's being a little bit harsh if you're going to turn around and stuff, especially if she felt bad about it. Now, that being said, we don't know, but if she was like, well, it doesn't matter, he didn't die, I'd be like, okay, bitch, we're calling the news. Get WREL in here. You know, because it really depends on how someone tells you things are going to happen. I've been in this situation. Not with nuts.
I'm also thinking, and like, please forgive me, don't be mad at me.
What?
I'm saying it to her, I was like, okay. Not you. But she did admit that she was overprotective.
Yeah.
Is it possible that she's maybe, I mean, she's willing to admit that much. Mm-hmm. So how overprotective?
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to use the term neurotic for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Is she, which, like, it's your kid. It's, yeah. I totally, be as neurotic as you want.
Yeah.
But depending on how her behavior typically is when it comes to the care of her kid. Is it possible the sister-in-law was literally scared to death to tell her
that it was protecting her from not having a moment of that? You know, maybe that's a great point. Maybe she didn't tell her the full scope of it because she didn't want her to freak out more than she needed to.
Because everything was fine in the end.
That's right.
So like, was it worth the full disclosure? I mean, I would want to know as a parent. And I think the right thing to do, just as an outsider looking in, would have been full disclosure. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, devil's advocate, maybe that could have been it too.
Yeah. I think it really depends on the situation. And I know that we have a lot of mom listeners, and I think most people would agree that it's all in the way that it's approached. Like, if my kid gets hurt and you don't tell me about it, or you leave out details that I found out through him not making the situation okay. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to tiptoe around this because I've been in this situation versus somebody that's like, hey, listen, this is what happened. Like, I remember one time Gaga called me crying. I was crying. A little girl bit Fisher at the park and she was freaking out and I was freaking out.
I'd elbow that bitch.
And literally, and it was fine. And like, it was the first time Fisher ever had been like hurt, so to speak. He was like one and they were at the park.
I think I remember you telling me about this actually and when it happened.
Was, I mean, I cried and she felt horrible. Aww. Now that being said, let's say 2 months later, I found out that like the little girl pushed Fisher down and bit him. And I don't care about that. Like, Gaga was telling me what I needed to know. He was fine. And Stephanie,
the pertinent information.
Yes. And whenever she tells me about something, she always tells me first, Fisher is fine. I want you to know everything is okay. And then she tells me the situation.
Yeah.
Cause I need to hear that. Like, I'm like, oh God, what happened?
Right. Cause otherwise as they're talking, like your mind is racing about what the possibilities could be. Yeah.
And that's really the bottom line. Is he okay? Yes. Okay, cool. Then what happened? And then let's go from there. And that's why I say with the sister-in-law, it all depends on that. Like, was she defensive or was she cool about it? Like, and then, but I don't know if she was like being reasonable about it and saying, listen, this is what it is.
Yeah.
I think turning your sister-in-law in is a little bit harsh in that situation.
Yeah. I don't know if I would say that you're the asshole per se.
Oh, right. Yeah. I thought we were giving advice.
No,
you're not the asshole.
It wasn't
the
asshole, but
no, I don't think the asshole.
I don't think you're the asshole, but
it's not an asshole.
I think this is kind of a lose-lose.
Yeah, it is. You're not an asshole for doing it because it sounds like you're kind of second guessing, like wanting to make it right.
Yeah.
But don't be the asshole and continue to press on something. If, again, the sister-in-law is compliant and very remorseful of it and everything is fine, if she's trying to make better, don't proceed with that route. Then you'll be the asshole.
I agree with you.
You know?
Yeah, that was great.
So, yeah.
Well, the moral of this story is,
be nut free if you say you're not free.
Be nut free if you say you're not free. And, you know, men are losers.
Wow, we had a lot of, this was like a men loser. Dang, man.
Swear we're not like men haters, but you know, some of them just really suck. There are some sucky women though, too.
There are. There's sucky people in the world.
Anti-feminist, whatever bullshit. Women, some women suck too.
Some of them do. It's, you know, we do at times. It's fun.
Well, I hope you losers all have a great week.
Hopefully you're feeling very uplifted after this episode, y'all.
Yeah, right. I mean, this was some like grade A advice, if I do say so myself. It was.
We did good. We did good considering all the things, all the.
I love when people write reviews and they're like, I mean, most reviews actually really like our advice, but we do get some comments that, or we'll see some like troll comments that are like, I'd never take advice from these idiots.
Well, neither would we. So like, join the club.
I'm great at giving it. I'm terrible at taking my own advice.
I can give good advice, but yeah, like if you don't want to take advice, we don't care. Literally don't care.
Okay. Bye, losers. Well, love you.
Bye. Have a good day. Have a good week. Have a good month. Have a good summer.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Basically Famous, available on YouTube and anywhere you can listen to podcasts. We'd love for you to subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and leave us some words of affirmation. And don't forget to call or text the hotline at 919-867-6776 for your chance to be basically famous.
XOXO.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.